So multiply answer came up, and the first thing it's asking is enter the first number. And so I am entering 12. And then I click on OK, and it prompts me again. Now notice, ignore the line I need to. That's just something they put up. But I wrote enter the second number, and I put the zero in that box. And on the first one, I wrote the enter the first number, and I put the zero in the box. So I click OK, and it comes back and tells me the answer is zero because I put nothing in. All right, let me pay attention this time and do it. So I'm going to put in 12, and notice it says enter the first number. And then I'm putting in 5, and for some reason it just is giving me trouble. Put in 5, and I've got 60. Then to see the code, I right-click and click on View Page Source. And then I can bring that down and such that I can see both of these. And there is a little bit bigger version of it. So, in the real world, I would be probably putting this in as just part of my HTML. I might have headers, I might have all kinds of things. But in fact, the script can be run pretty much alone. All I did is put in HTML before and after. Mainly because I want to focus on SQL. After I get going on this a little bit, we will look at incorporating it in with more HTML. But I want to focus on the JavaScript right now. So I need to tell the browser that I'm doing JavaScript. And I tell the browser that by saying script type equals text JavaScript. Okay, so that's how I tell the browser that I'm using JavaScript. And the browser has to know that. The browser can support JavaScript, unless you've got a very ancient browser. It's going to support JavaScript just fine. But it needs to know that it's supposed to do that. Okay? When I finish the script, I close the script, just like with HTML. I put a slash in front and it closes it. So then I set up my memory variables. And those are just setting up areas in memory to hold these things. And I set up 3 variables, one called answer, one called first number, one called second number. And I don't have to do this, but I did. I give them all an initial value of 0. And then I've got a semicolon at the end. So that's kind of my setup or housekeeping. That's getting ready. And then I start doing my program. Then I start and I say, okay, prompt, enter the first number. Now what I'm doing is I am putting up what I want to happen on the right-hand side, and I'm assigning it to the thing on the left. And as we talked about last time, that is not an equal sign, it's an assign sign. I'm assigning. It may look like an equal sign to you, and all these years you may have thought it was an equal sign, but it's an assignment sign. So I'm putting up a prompt and saying, enter the first number. And remember, you saw that on the prompt. And then comma 0 is what I put in the box. I put a 0 in the box. Okay, and we saw that when the prompt came up. So it puts in the prompt, I entered a 12. And so 12 got assigned to first number. So first number is no longer 0, it's now 12. Because I assigned it to first number. Then I put up another prompt and said enter, and I put up a 5. And so 5 got assigned to second number. Now it got changed in memory because I have a memory variable that is holding those. Then I came down and I said, okay, the next thing I want you to do is take what's in first gnome, multiply it by what's in second gnome, and assign it to answer. So answer became a 60. Okay? And then I said, all right, now I want to see that, so I'm going to write on the document, which I write as document.write, and I'm writing a literal, which is enclosed in quotes. I'm writing the answer is. Then I have a separator, which is the comma. And then I have the variable. And notice the variable is not in quotes. If the variable answer was in quotes, what would I see? I'd see A and S, okay? So I'm saying write the contents of the variable. Write the variable content. And so it takes the 60 and writes it up here. Okay? That is answer. So it writes the answer is 60. And it writes out answer. Okay. Questions? And like with HTML, you're going to write this in Notepad or Notepad++. You have to write it in a text editor. You save it, you load it into the browser, and you see what happens. And if it doesn't like what you did, you'll get the white screen of death. And then you get to try to figure out what's wrong. Okay? So. Okay. So the next one we're going to look at is adding. And there's a problem with adding. Okay, so I'm going to enter a 7 for the first number. And I'm going to enter a 5 for the second number. And I get two answers here. One is 75 and one is 12. Okay. Now, the problem is that the plus means two things. It means concatenate, and it means add. And this actually shows up in other languages as well as JavaScript. So concatenate means add, plus means concatenate, and it means add. And what does concatenate mean? It means put two things together as one. So I entered here a 7 and a 5. And then I said down here, answer. And what it did was it concatenated. It concatenated 7 and 5 together, and that resulted in 75, because the 7 and the 5 were concatenated together as one. Okay? So I got a 75, because it did a concatenate. Now, I have to convince it that I'm dealing with numbers, and then it will do an add. And the way I can convince it that I've got numbers is to basically convert or attempt to convert what is in first num to a number. And parse float is one way of doing that. A floating number is like a decimal number. So I'm saying parse float, turn that into a decimal number. Well, it's actually going to be a whole number because I put in 7 and 5, but anyway, it will turn it into a number. And then I parse float the second number. Now notice how I'm doing that. I have parse float, and inside parenthesis, I put the thing that I wanted to parse. So I put that inside the parenthesis. I mentioned last time that JavaScript is a pain in the neck about case sensitivity. That parse float has to have a capital F. It has to be camel case. So it absolutely has to have that capital F. Okay? And so parse float first num convinces it that the number is a number. Parse float second number convinces it it's a number. So it then adds them together and puts them in other answer. And other answer is going to be then the 12, because it went ahead and did the add. So other answer is the 12, which is using the plus to add. Mm-hmm. Now, before I write that out, I did a write BR, which is really kind of a neat thing, because the BR is JavaScript, is HTML, right? The BR with the tags around it is HTML. I'm putting that in quotes, which makes it a literal. And I'm saying, I'm sending down to the browser, I want to document, write the literal BR. Well, when it looks at the literal BR, when the browser looks at the literal less than sign BR, right than sign, it says, oh, you want to do a break. And so it moves down to the next line. Okay? So I'm sending it the literal BR, it receives the BR and says that means break. And it goes down and it takes a break and moves down a line. And then I write out the answer is concatenated with other answer, which is the 12, and I get the answer is 12. So once I've convinced it that it's got numbers, it adds. But if I don't convince it it's got numbers, it concatenates. Questions? Yeah.
If you didn't use the break, the answers all be on the line?
Yes. If I didn't do the break, it would just continue on in the same line. And in fact, there wouldn't even be any space in between it, I don't think. Okay. Okay. So, the next one gets into other things you can do with an add. So I'm going to put in 12.5. Actually, I think I'll stay with whole numbers for a minute. So I'll put in 12 and 7. Okay? So here I've set up four variables, answer, other answer, first num, second num, like I did in the last one. I'm prompting for the two numbers, and in the first one I'm doing a concatenate. So in the first one I'm doing a concatenate because I am not successfully convincing that it's a number. So I'm doing a concatenate. And I'm writing out the answer is answer, and it writes out the answer is 127. Because remember, I put in a 12 and a 7. Okay. Now, other ways to do this, and actually I don't have one of the ways in here. Parse float is one way. Parse integer is another way, and I thought I had that here. Parse integer means that it is an integer number, and so it will parse it as an integer. Okay, that will only deal with whole numbers. The other way I can do it is I can put a plus sign in, and that's what I did down here. A plus in front of first num and a plus in front of second num. That will do it. And another way I can do it is the word number in front of first num and the word number in front of second num. So those are four ways that I can do the convince it that it's a number. Parse float, parse integer, or plus a number. Yeah.
Are there any differences between them?
A parse integer gives me only whole numbers. It will get rid of decimals.
The rest.
But the rest are the same. So you're basically, or at least as far as I know, they're the same. I honestly have to admit that I probably haven't read the technical stuff, and there may be some weird thing, but I don't think so. So parse float, parse integer, the plus sign, and number with a capital N are four ways to do it. I tend to see parse float and parse integer the most, but pick a way that you like, and that's fine, except parse integer. If you're planning to put in a decimal number, is obviously not going to work. Okay, so there are multiple ways of convincing it that you want to do an add. Subtracts are just fine. You just put a hyphen in and it does a subtract. So subtracts, multiplies, and divides have no problem. You just use a symbol. It's adds that are an issue. And it's because add can mean also concatenate. Questions? Okay, on this one I'm entering a 8 and I'm entering a 2. And it's asking me to choose what kind of math I would like to do, multiply or divide. I'm looking to see if there's anybody that was in my 122 class yesterday. I don't think so. Okay, because I do the same example there. So that gives me the answer 16. Okay, because 8 times 2 is 16. Okay, so now we're going to look at what gives JavaScript a lot of more power. So when I do the view page source, okay. So here I set up four variables. One's called answer, one's called first num, one's called second num, and one is called what to do. And what to do, I did not give an initial value to. I just defined it. So it sets up an area in memory. And I'm going to put string data in it, so I didn't define it. I tend to define things that are numeric with a zero, just kind of clear them out. And that's probably left over from having programmed for a good many years. You used to have to do that. So I'm not sure that's really necessary, but I tend to just clear it out by saying make it a zero. What to do, I really didn't need to clear out. If I wanted to, I could have put an equals quote quote there, which would have meant nothing. Quote quote means make it empty. Make the memory variable empty. If I for some reason wanted it to be a space, I could use quote space quote. And just hit the space bar in between and we'll put a space in. But I could have, if I wanted to have a initial value, I could have done the quote quote and then put the semicolon in. So now I'm prompting for the first number and I put in 8. And I'm prompting for the second number and I put in 2. And now I'm coming down and I'm asking a question. And this is where JavaScript starts giving power to HTML, because I can now ask a question, get an answer, and respond to that answer. Okay. So down here, I put up a prompt that said to the user, enter an asterisk or a slash. So I'm asking them to enter an asterisk or a slash. Okay? And if they enter an asterisk, I'm going to multiply. If they enter a slash, I'm going to divide. So I'm saying, if what to do equals an asterisk. Now there's a gazillion things going on in this if statement. First of all, the condition is inside parentheses. So I've got the word if, and then the condition that I want to test is inside parentheses. The other thing is, the what to do is written with two equal signs, and that means equal. I'm doing a test for equal. So, remember I said the equal sign wasn't an assignment sign? Well, two equal signs is an equal sign. Okay? So here I'm doing a compare for equal, or a test for equal. So my condition is, does what to do equal an asterisk? Meaning when they entered a prompt and I entered an asterisk when I put that up. So I'm looking to see if what to do contains an asterisk. Is it equal to an asterisk? Now, if it is, I am going to want to do the things inside the curly braces. So if it is true, those are the things I do. And I only am doing one thing there. I'm multiplying first num by second num and storing it in answer. Else, this is what I want to do if the condition is false. I am going to do the divide. Okay? And then the if is over. I've told it what to do if it's true. I've told it what to do if it's false. And after that, I put a document write and I say the answer is answer. Okay? And I did the answer neither one of these. So what I'm doing logically is I am saying is what to do equal to an asterisk. And if the answer is yes, I am doing a multiply, and if the answer is no, I'm doing a divide. And then I'm coming together, and I am doing a write. And I am writing out the answer. So I'm asking the question, is what to do equal to an asterisk? If it is, multiply. If not, divide. Now, what's the problem with the way I ask that question? What happens if I put in a Z?
It's going to do the else.
It's going to do the else. So it's going to divide. What happens if I put in a minus sign?
Else.
It does the else and it does the divide. So I am having far more faith in my user here than I should, because I am basically saying, enter an asterisk or a slash, and I am saying, if it's an asterisk, do this. Otherwise, I know you entered a slash, so do a divide. Well, that assumption that I know that you entered a slash is a bad assumption, yeah.
I was going to ask, for the numbers, when you put in something that's not a number, what tells it to come up with NaN or not a number? Is that
it does. It's behind the scenes.
It's just an attribute of
yeah, script. And it comes up with, you're right, it comes up with NaN for and tells you, and remind me, and I will do that in a minute with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it will, if you put in something that's other than a number, we've been being good and being putting in numbers. If we put in something other than a number, we get a result that says NaN. Okay, so this is a problem in that I should have done it. I should have checked to make sure they have a divide. Okay, they put in the divide sign. Okay, questions on this so far? Do you see the structure for an if? And that's an important part of what we're looking at here, is seeing the structure for the if statement. Okay. So, I'm going to close this down and close that down, and I'm going to rerun this, and I'll do what you just said. I'll put in an 8, and I will put in a Z, and I will put in an asterisk. And it gives the answer is ASN, as NAN rather. The answer is NAN. So I put in an 8 and a Z and an asterisk. Okay, so that's what I put in. Not a number. So you got the NAN, which stands for not a number. And I always forget what it stands in, but it does. It stands for not a number. Okay? So, when I put in an 8 and a Z, it wasn't a number, so it couldn't do the calculation. Everybody signed the attendance? Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. Questions? Yeah.
Why is it NaN? It looks like sodium and nitrogen, and they don't bond like that.
Yeah, it stands for not a number. The other question is, why did they decide to capitalize the two N's and whatever? But you're too close to your chemistry background, apparently.
And so the same applies when you divide by zero and it returns infinity?
Yes. All that's happening behind the scenes. It depends on whether it returns infinity. If I put this in and run it again, I think it depends on the browser whether you always get infinity. So if I put in 8 and I put in 0 and I put in the slash, yeah, I got infinity. But I think it depends on the browsers. I think in some you get not a number or some other message. I don't think you always get infinity, huh? Element undefined? Okay. So not all browsers return the infinity. But if I put in here an 8, I put in a 0, and I put in the divide, that's what it gave me. Okay. Okay, now the problem with this one is that I need to go in here now and clean this up. I need to ask whether it is a divide. So the way that I do this is I'm going to take this code and I'm going to put it in Notepad. Or Notepad++. So I'm putting it in here, okay? So what I actually want to do now is I want to ask the question, is it an asterisk? And if it is, I want to multiply. And if the answer is no, I want to ask, is it a slash? And if the answer is yes, I want to divide. And if the answer is no, I want to put out some kind of a message like problem. Okay. So I want to modify this program so that if it's not an asterisk, I'm going to ask, is it a slash? Okay? So where is that going to go? Where am I going to take and put this question? I'm going to put this question right here where I before just did the divide. So I'm going to go inside there and I'm going to ask that question. Okay. So now what I want to have in here is the question. And I'm going to ask the question, if what to do is equal to a slash. Okay, so I'm asking, is what to do equal to a slash? And if the answer is yes, then I want to put out the answer equals first, else I want to say answer equals the literal problem. So I'm just putting the literal problem in there. And now I've got one more curly brace to close. Okay, so I've now added another curly brace to it.
Do you have to go on to the next line every time you use one of those braces?
No, and in fact I was going to talk about that probably about now. Okay. Let me take a picture before I lose it. Okay, I put the curly braces on separate lines because I know myself. And what I tend to forget is things like curly braces and closing curly braces. And I find this just a really easy way of figuring it out because I can look at this easily and say, okay, here's the open and close. Here's the open and close, here's the open and close, here's the open and close. And I will get the white screen of death if they don't match. If I have too many left curly braces and not enough right curly braces, it's going to give me the white screen of death. So I like to see them and I like to match them up like that. A lot of professionals will put the first curly brace up here, then write the stuff, and at the end we'll put the last curly brace so that they put it here and they put it here. And they don't use separate lines for curly braces. And you're welcome to do that. As I said, I do this more because I think it helps in teaching this stuff in that you get used to the fact that the curly braces have to match. So I think it's a good teaching technique. But I also think I'm callous. And so it's a good for me technique because I'm callous about those. But if you look at professional work, you will usually see the open curly brace up here with the F and the closed curly brace after they've said everything that they want to do. And that's the way you usually see it. And you're welcome to use either one. Okay. So now, presuming that I typed everything correctly, and that's always an assumption. I'm going to say file save as, and I'm going to call this divide.html. And I'm putting it out on my E drive and saving it. So now I'm going to go in and I'm going to do a Control O to open it. And I'm going to go to my E drive and I'm going to look for divide and open it up. And so it says enter the first number and I'm going to put in 6. Enter the second number, I'm putting in 3. I'm putting in a slash and it's saying the answer's 2, so it worked. Actually, I didn't have to do that, but anyway. Okay, so I put in 6, 3, and divide. And so it said, is what to do equal to an asterisk? No. It came down to the else. Is what to do equal to a slash? Yes. And it went ahead and did it. Now, what I've got here is, again, this is what I want to do if it's true. This is what I want to do if it's false. Now, what I want to do if it's false is ask another question. And if that new question is true, that's what I want to do. And if it's false, that's what I want to do. Okay. And the curly braces have to add up. And when I'm doing something complex, I literally go in and I count how many right ones I have and I count how many left ones I have. And if they're not the same number, then I know I messed up somewhere along the line. Okay? That's after I get the white screen of death. Okay. So now what I want to look at is I want you to go in and fix this. And I want to have here an asterisk, a slash, or a plus, or a minus. So I want them to be able to do any of the four. Okay? So I'm going to end up saying basically, if it's an asterisk, do a multiply. If it's not, is it a slash? If it is, do a divide. If it's not, is it a plus? If it is, do an add. If it's not, is it a minus? If it is, do a subtract. Otherwise, problem. Close up the last one, move up one level and close. Close the next level, close the next level. Okay? So, I want you to take this program and fix it. And I'm going to give you some time to do it now. And I want you to send it to me. I'm not going to grade it, I'm going to check it off, so if you don't get it done in the time I give you, I still want you to do it. And I've got vacation week, so I'm dying to have things to correct. So after I get caught up, that is, on the outstanding stuff. So anyway, I want you to send it to me. Okay, so take some time now, modify the program. What I would do is copy my program and modify it as opposed to starting fresh. So I copy my program and now modify it so that I ask about adding and subtracting. Where are you going to put it? You're going to basically, instead of saying problem, you're going to start asking this question right where you would have said problem. Because if it's not a divide, I now want to ask, is it in plus? Yeah.
So that means if I, after L, then I tend to read as nothing. So that's the problem.
Need something you could cross reference.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
From there on, it would be better for me to do it. So I could choose or whatever. So if you go with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did you already have a list of things already in there?
Well, you've got our datas, you know, tape and the file, whatever it is, which is the file. And so when I say initialize and read, it goes to that file and reads the course recipe. Yeah, the reason it reads the entire record. This is, let's say, a file is stored on the disk.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the file is stored on the disk. At the beginning, and I'm not showing that, I would have to tell it the name of the file and where it's located. So I would have a line of code that tells it this is the name of the file I'm going to read and this is where it's listed. So it would then go there and initialize and read and would go to wherever I told it to go and read the first record.
So in program, I know exactly which ones are listed.
Yeah, yes, I know exactly where on the disk. You know, I give it the name. If this is stored on my D drive, and here's its next, and if it's in a folder, I tell it that, and all I could
say.
But just assume that it has access to that file. For now, I'm not getting into how you tell it, but just assume that it has access to that file.
Oh, so you're not actually putting it in? You're just, like, you know, all these in the database?
Yeah, these are in a table. And if I was actually running this for real, this table would be out on this.
So we're not?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, you're not running it. You're playing computer.
Oh.
Okay, so you're stepping through my data and showing me the results.
Oh, okay.
So you're playing computer. Set up a line and write it to me and getting it ready and putting it back. And you don't have to worry about people. So I read a record. As long as it's not in the file, there's nothing there, it'll be in the file and stop. But there is something. So it reads that, now it says calculate the profit. Well, I set up here the profit is the difference between price and cost. So it comes down here and says, okay, the profit is $25.89.
This is going to use to read your profit.
That's right.
Get results.
Exactly. No, I want you to play computer.
Okay.
So you come up with, set up the line for the report, so I get it ready to write and then write it, and I write item number 111, oak, price is $95.89, cost is $75, profit is $25.89.
Right. And I'll get ready to write the whole thing.
No, 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 we haven't found that file yet anyway. And then I say, read another record, so it reads the record. Oh, it loops back and check to make sure the read was successful. Okay?
Good. Took me a lot of headache.
Or gave you a lot before you asked the question, either way. Yes, sir.
Do you have the operators in this online here, or do you just
What do you mean? Yes, I'd write them in there. That's what I said. I would change this and say enter an asterisk or a slash or a plus or a minus.
Oh, I didn't see that.
That's what I would change
to
say.
I looked at the board, right?
It would be an abnormal student if you did. I know I didn't.
But isn't the addition operator going to come?
Well, you're gonna have to put in the pass float or whatever we talked about to make sure it doesn't add.
Call again, pass float.
Pass float.
On the plus, right?
And don't forget, you can look back at my examples. I don't hide them.
Work.
I know. Much easier to ask somebody and much easier to sit next to Eric, so it's easy to ask.
Yeah, them. You got it.
Pretty thoughtful, that'd be nice. Don't tell him, Eric. Yeah.
So in JavaScript, you don't need an end if?
No. No, the curly braces take care of that. There are basically two families of languages. One that use curly braces, which is the C group, and the other that uses end ifs. Visual Basic being one of those. And it's one or the other. Now, some languages actually let you choose before you go. PHP is one that lets you use curly braces or use end ifs, depending on which way you want to go. But most of them usually pick a side. So have you got it working?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what am I doing right here? I'm doing the same thing here that I did when I added this. Okay. I'm going to put a whole nother decision in here. So I'm going to take that out, and I'm going to put in the if, where I ask about if, what to do, is equal to a plus. And I'm going to put that and all of the stuff that go with it in at that spot. Yes. Yep.
This is like, I haven't tested it yet. This is what I've called this so far. And then I would have to put it somewhere.
Well, you can't assume that it's a minus. You're going to have to ask that question.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Because I figured since I put it here, it was else.
But that's assuming the same way I did the first time, that somebody doesn't end with a Z. Because if they end with a Z, you're going to still do a subtract.
Okay.
So you need to ask both questions. Notice the indenting I do, and it's not a requirement, but I honestly find it easier to follow if I indent, as opposed to putting everything over against the left wall, and I don't usually indent, but for if statements I do. Has everybody got a start on this that they're feeling comfortable with? If not, ask a question. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop in a minute or two and go on. And you need to send this to me. And when you send it to me, if it's not right, I'll send you back the solution. So this isn't one of the ones that I'll have you make you fix and all the rest, because we're just trying it. So if you don't get it, I will send you back the solution, which you should look at. So right in here, I would put my if statement. And down here, I would do my calculation to get answer. And that's going to involve the pass float and everything like that. So I'm saying, else, if what to do equals plus, then the answer is going to be calculated this way. And what am I going to put in the else down here? I'm going to ask about subtract. So if what to do is a plus, I'll do one thing. Else, I'm going to ask about the subtract. Note that these closing braces that I left down there go with those. And I left them down at the bottom when I did my insert. Okay. So that's basically a hint if you need a hint. But I want you to give it your best effort, send it to me, and I will send you back the solution when you send it to me. Questions? Going, going, gone. Okay, the next one we're looking at is if with if. Whatever that means. So I asked the question, how many points did you earn? And I earned 100, we'll say. And then I click OK, and it comes back and tells me what prize I can pick. Okay, so on this one, I asked them how many points they earned, and then I'm checking. If my points is less than 10, I put up a message that says not enough points for a prize. Or actually, I don't put it up. I store in the memory variable called message, not enough points for a prize. Else, if the points is less than or equal to 50, I put out a message that says, you can choose from group B. Else, anything over 50 is giving me, you can choose from group A. And after it's all done, I document write whatever is in message. So again, these are the true, these are the false. And inside, these are the true, these are the false. So I'm saying, if it's less than 10, I'm doing one thing. Else, check and see if it's less than or equal to 50. So again, I'm looking at flowcharts. If it's less than 10, then it's not enough. If it's not less than 10, then I'm asking, is it less than or equal to 50? And if it is, it's a B. Otherwise, it's an A. Okay? Okay, the next one is Mass or Rhode Island. So I'm entering my name, Jane. Okay, Jane, enter the state, MA. And it says, Jane, you live in Massachusetts, which ought to be fairly obvious. But this is getting into how you do an OR. So, I put up a prompt. Some people like to write window.prompt, others just like prompt. Up until now, I have just used prompt. But I am putting in some flavor now, because some places you'll see it done one way, and some places you'll see it done another way. So I've got window.prompt. You never have to do that ever. You can always just write prompt. So window.prompt into your name, and I'm storing it in a variable called the name. Okay, so I'm doing one other thing here that I haven't done before, and that is I'm defining the variable along with asking for the prompt. So instead of up at the top saying variable the name equals space, I'm saying variable the name equals and letting them put in the name. Now I only want to do this if it's a one-time deal. When we get into loops, I'm going to recommend you not do this because you keep over-defining it. But since I'm just defining it once with one prompt, I can do this. So I can say variable the name, tell me the name. Variable the state, enter the state. And now I'm doing a test. And the pipe means or. That pipe means or. Okay? So the pipe is the symbol that is right below the backspace. It's with the forward, the backward slash. And that two of those means or. So that condition reads, if the state equals Mass or the state equals Rhode Island. Okay? So if it's either one, I am doing a write and saying the name, which came in here, concatenated, so here I'm using the plus to concatenate, concatenated with you live in, but notice the space on either side so that I can get it to write spaces in what I'm writing out, and then concatenate with the state. Then I put in a comma, I could have put in a concatenate, but I wanted to show you to mix them, and I did a BR. Now, since I'm not writing a second line, that BR is totally worthless. I'm just showing you that you can do it. But if I wanted to write another line beneath it, then that BR moves whatever I want to write beneath it out. So if I, for example, yeah, right, closing clear, try that. If I, for example, take this code and I put in a line down below where I say document write the end, and I want it to be on a separate line, then the BR becomes important. So the document write will be on a separate line. Okay? But before this, that really wasn't needed. And over here, I said document write the name concatenated with you do not live in Mass or Rhode Island. And since all this is in quotes, I can stick the BR in with my message, because it's all a literal that will be passed down. So I will pass down the things to be written and the fact that it should then skip a line. So this is kind of a sneaky way of doing it. You do not live in Mass or Rhode Island, BR. So that means write it and then branch down. So that's really the way you could have put it in HTML. Okay? And that's kind of sneaky.
Why can't you just put the BR outside of the code if it's a literal?
Because then it wouldn't know what to do with it. With the curly, with the left, less than and greater than signs. File, save as, let's see, or example. .html. So I'm saving this, and then I'm going to come over here and open it with a slash O. Try that again. And I'm opening something that says or example. So I say enter your name, Susan. Enter the state. Let's see, New York, and it comes back and says, Susan, you do not live in Mass or Rhode Island. Okay, so this one, I'm saying, I put in for this, Susan in New York. So I put in Susan, and I put in New York. So it took those and stored them, and as I said, I defined the variable at the same time that I used it, so the one and only time I'm using it. So I said variable the name equals enter your name, variable the state equals enter the state, and then I said if the state equals Mass or Rhode Island, it doesn't, it equals New York, so it takes the else. So it writes out the name concatenated with you do not live in Mass or Rhode Island and take a break and move down to the next line, and it does that. And we can see that because after the if I wrote document write the end, and we can see that the end is on the next line. So it wrote out and had the BR as what it wrote out. So it's sent to the browser. I want you to write out, you do not live in Mass or Rhode Island, and then do a BR afterward. And the browser can interpret that as, I'm going to write this out and then do a BR. So think of this as if it had done it in HTML, you might have had a paragraph there and written it all out in a paragraph at the end. And it would have written a line and then done a break. Okay? But the break has to be sent down as a little. Here, since I had something that was in quotes at the same time, I want a break right afterward, I could stick it in. Here I had a variable, so I couldn't combine the BR, so I did a comma and then sent the BR down as its own little. And again, that comma could have been a plus because I could have been concatenating there. Yeah.
A comma concatenates too?
No, a comma is a separator.
Oh, okay.
But I could have chosen to concatenate. Essentially because this wouldn't have printed anything. So the state concatenate would be like I'd forgotten left out a space when I was doing HTML and it still worked.
And obviously in order to get for these programs to be executable in a web browser, they always have to be saved as a .html file.
Yes, because these are HTML. They're enclosed in HTML. Now the only thing I'm really doing here, actually this one I put in a head and a title for some bizarre reason, and put it all inside body, and I haven't been doing that. But that one just kind of shows that it is in fact in the body of the HTML. And again, I'm not recommending that you write JavaScript this way, but it just kind of clears out the clutter of the HTML while we're learning JavaScript. Questions? Okay, I want to show you one more that kind of goes with this, and then we are done. And that's problem two. And problem two says, enter your name, John. Enter the year of birth, 1990. Enter your marital status, S. You do not meet the criteria, whatever the criteria is. Okay, so this is, guess what double ampersands mean? Double ampersands mean and. So double pipes mean or, double ampersand means and. So here I'm saying, if year birth is greater than 1980 and marital status equals M, then do the document right. So I'm checking for and there. I also did a sneaky thing up at the top. When I took in the prompt, I converted it to a number right then and there, or made the assurance that it was a number. For no particularly good reason, because I'm not trying to do an ad. But if I wanted to do an ad, that would be a nice idea. But I said, take in this window prompt, and notice the parenthesis. Window prompt, the parenthesis is here and here. The thing that I'm entering is here and here. And so I took and said, I want to change that and make sure it's a number. So I put all of the window prompts inside parentheses and then put parse integer outside it. That's known as a function. So I'm acting on the window prompt. I'm taking whatever the window prompt brings in, changing it to an integer before I put it in year birth. So when I put it in year birth, I'm putting in a number. Okay. So window prompt needed its own set of parentheses to tell what the prompt should be. And then the result of the prompt, I want to turn into an integer. So I put that all in quotes, in parentheses, and say, turn that into an integer. So if I tried to type in a decimal number from the year of birth, which would be an interesting thing, it would turn it into an integer. There's no particularly good reason to turn it into an integer in this example. It's just I wanted to. Okay? But that's mainly because I wanted to show you how. Mm-hmm. And so that is saying if both of those things are true, then I'm doing one thing, else I'm doing something else. And both of them write out messages, so both of them have the BR embedded in the quotes. If I wanted to write something else. So if I wanted to write this is the end, it would show up on another line. Okay, that's as far as I want to go today. We've looked at decisions, and we're going to look at loops. And I will post an assignment probably tomorrow. For you to work on over break. Isn't that nice of me? It's not, however, due till the Thursday after break. So you don't really have to pass it in during break. It's due the Thursday after break. So next week is catch-up week for all of us. I actually got down to around 50. And then you all started being conscientious, and I'm now up over 100 again. Okay. We're done. I actually am way over 100 just in the last day. Yeah.
All right, so.
Right, this is the first
thing. This website, it tells us. For some reason, it always divides, no matter what I put. Are you ever free at 2 o'clock?
What is it?
Are you ever free at 2 o'clock?
Yes.
Because that would be good to come if you want somebody to sit down with you.
Okay.
And really spend time. Like today, I'll be here at 2. Thursday, Eric will be here at 2. Here it is.
Do you want us to email you that one when we finish it?
Which what?
The plus,
yes. Yes, I want that one emailed to me. So, this is where I added in, okay? So, what I've got is else, now I want to add another question. Instead of assuming that it's a divide, I want to ask if it's a divide.
Okay.
So I have else, and I've got the curly brace, and I say if what to do equals a slash.
Okay.
Hey, if you want to play first and second, first second edition, those are the ones that we
have. Nine, right?
First and second ones.
Yeah. In my dad's opinion, it's the best.
I don't blame him. For us, or more we got.
And I'm printing it out for you, so you don't have to copy it.
Okay.
It out so you don't have to copy it. So just look. So I say, if what to do equals a slash, do the divide.
Okay.
Else, if it doesn't, I want to ask, is it an and?
Okay.
So I put in, if what to do equals plus, and then I'm going to say answer equals, and I'm going to put in the calculation for an and. And then I'm saying else, and I'm going to have